This is the Power Producers Podcast, where we are refining and redefining the sales game.
Rule number one is you have to believe in yourself. You're the only one who doesn't think you belong in this appointment. The prospect has already validated your existence by scheduling time with you. Get it through your head you belong here, go in there, crush it, and close the deal.
A place where sales professionals can come to learn from other sales professionals and thought leaders that have mastered their craft.
The difference between a good salesperson and a best-in-class salesperson is only 2 minutes. By spending an extra 2 minutes on what you might think is a mundane task in the sales game, you separate yourselves from the pack, you grow your book of business, you close more deals, and you retain your accounts.
As well as their peers who are still striving for perfection to achieve their why.
I have a wife and 4 kids. Failure is not an option.
Real sales professionals. Real stories. Real results.
It's no different than being a professional baseball player. You can't be a one-trick pony. You have to be a 5-tool player in order to succeed in this game.
This is the Power Producers Podcast, production redefined. Are you ready to feel the power?
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Power Producers Podcast, where we are refining and redefining the sales game. And today, I have the one and only Michael McCormick, who will be playing the role of Michael McCormick as well as Taylor Dobby, because we don't know where that guy is.
Oh,
I didn't send him a thing. I relied on Michael to do it. But listen, I want to talk to y'all today, and this is going to be conversational, but I want you to hear about an event that's coming up, and it's one that I'm speaking at, but that's not why I want you to hear about it. Y'all can hear me every week multiple times or anywhere. I want you to seriously consider attending Soup Live this year. If you're not a member of Insurance Soup, you probably don't know about it, but you should be. I have been on stage at over 100 places in the last couple of years. And unequivocally, when anybody asks me, what's the coolest place you've spoken? What's your favorite event you've spoken at? And I've spoken at some really good ones. Soup Live in 22 was the number one event. And I think that the only way it's going to get replaced is it Soup Live 24. So that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to ask Michael a few questions. I want him to set some expectations for what you will get out of it. And then, you know, we'll probably chop it up just a little bit, but we're going to talk about Soup Live. Michael, what's going on?
All right. Well, thank you.
We're already warmed up. We had a great conversation before we started recording.
We did. I don't even know where to go from here, because those were very, very kind and thoughtful words. I appreciate that. I was already doing my Taylor impersonation. He's never seen it, and you know, if ever there was a chance to get in trouble, now would be the time, right?
Well, you need to thank God I'm not Ryan Hanley, because when you go on Hanley's podcast, you don't even realize he's recording. He never says anything. You're just having a conversation,
and
like you and I did.
And
I'm like, when are we going to start recording? He's like, oh, bro, we started recording 15 minutes ago.
We've got 12 minutes left.
Yeah, thanks, man.
No, I actually don't have a Taylor impersonation, but I should probably work on one for moments like this. But I appreciate you having me on Soup Live. You know, it's funny, you left out Soup 23, and that was the one that you didn't speak at. So the only one better than 22 is the next time Carruthers is showing, which I will say, I'm teasing you right now, which I will say automatically drastically improves the event, because you are a headliner and you do provide the industry a tremendous, tremendous amount of value and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, just playing with you. But as far as the event is concerned, I do appreciate it. It's May 7th, May 8th, back at Texas Live down in Arlington, Texas. And yeah, we try and do things very, very differently than everybody else. That's probably something that everyone that hosts a conference says, right? Like, I'm not like the normal moms, I'm a cool mom. You know, that type of thing. But, you know, when we decided to do a conference, and it was something that we had been asked to do by our audience for a number of years, and said no to, we ultimately decided to, not because we felt like inspired to host an event or to, you know, run a dog and pony show out or anything like that. It was more because, number one, our audience had been asking and asking and asking for it, and we didn't want the responsibility, but finally got to the point where it was good timing. But also on the other side, you know, we had been very fortunate over the previous, you know, 5, 6, 7 years to be invited to take a lot of stages ourselves. And in doing so, we had been to a lot of events that left us scratching our heads why it was being held. And not in like a there's no value being served up type of way, but like we had always, and maybe we were naive and maybe we were ignorant, but we had always looked at the conference game as an opportunity for agents to come out and learn and find value and be inspired and, you know, network and all that kind of stuff. And a lot of the places that we were getting invited to, and I believe you've had a similar experience to this, you know, if my memory is serving me correct, a lot of the events that we were getting invited to, like there were different agendas than what were being publicly marketed and presented. And what we were witnessing in a lot of different areas was essentially the objectification of the insurance agent. And what was advertised as events for agents were really nothing more than a $500, $1,000, $2,500 event that an agent paid money to essentially go sit in an audience to be advertised to be pitched, yeah, to be sold.
It's like we call them timeshare presentations, because that's what it feels like. You go in and it's like, oh yeah, we'll give you the 2 free tickets to Disney, but you're going to have to let somebody berate you for the next 2 hours in order for you to earn those tickets to Disney. And that's what it feels like, man. And you're paying to go to it.
Yeah. And when you're feeling like a piece of meat, you know, for the lion that's up on stage and not, you know, and not someone who is receiving value for, you know, for money paid for an event, it really rubs you the wrong way. And, you know, we were witnessing it in a number of different ways, be it from events where the speakers had obviously paid to be on stage and were scrambling to get ROI, to events where there were as many vendors as there were attendees. And, you know, they were frantically trying to get ROI on the event. And, you know, you'd have to run a gauntlet just to get to where the, you know, where the stage was to find your seat. So, you know, with everything that we were witnessing and everything that we do in Soup, you know, obviously, you know, Soup is a community for agents and brokers and team members and all that kind of stuff. We keep corporate out, we keep carriers out, we keep vendors out and all that. We, you know, we try and keep that as value-driven in an environment as possible. We decided that we wanted to bring, you know, that kind of feel, that kind of flavor to an actual event where literally everybody that is taking the stage is looking at the audience as people that are in need of something that they're good at being able to teach. So, and you're no stranger to it. You've already taken the stage and you're going to be with us again in May, and we're very excited and thankful that you're coming back, and we're even more excited and thankful that you put together a new presentation specifically for us, which thank you, you know, very, very much for doing that. But at the end of the day, we have made it a point that literally every single person that speaks at Soup Live is not paid to be there. They have not they are not being paid to be there, and they have not paid to be there. So you know, everyone that is up there is doing it from a place of relative altruism. Do people have products and services that are up there? Of course. No one sells from stage. No one has an offer from stage. In fact, and you're privy to it because you've seen it, we actually make all the speakers sign off on a disclosure saying that I will not sell anything from stage. I understand that if I try, my mic's getting cut and someone else is coming up with a new presentation. But we did that by design, so that there's no one that's taking the stage thinking they're going to be slick either. But, you know, we didn't want anyone selling from stage. We wanted it to be teaching from stage, value from stage, all that kind of stuff. We do not bring in a lot of vendors. In fact, last year we only brought 7 vendors in. This year we're bringing in 10. And the only reason that we're bringing in 10 is because we're expecting a little bit larger of an audience than last year. And we may push out up onto the upper deck of Texas Live. But we keep the vendors to a very small number, and the vendors that we do accept, and I use the word accept, right? Most conferences are just taking any Tom, Dick, or Harry that's got a check to stroke for them. You know,
we literally just had this conversation a couple hours ago.
Yeah, we did over on the ITC call. But we only bring in vendors that we have a good, solid relationship with, that we know are already delivering results for agents. You know, there's no startup that's trying to get their shit together behind the scenes that's going to sign up a handful of agents, provide a bad experience, and you know, and none of that kind of stuff. So, you know, we really made it a point to drive home the value, to educate, to make sure that people are leaving with actionable items. God knows that, you know, with everything that you're learning there, they're only going to turn around and implement one or two of them. That's, that, you know, statistically, that's what people do when they go to conferences. But, you know, outside of that, we're also focused, obviously, on the networking, the real magic at the events, you know, any event. You know, I'd love to say that, you know, everything that you learn at Soup Live is going to turn around and change your life. You know, like I just said, you're only going to implement one or two things. The real magic at all these events, and something that, you know, no one can really claim to be the best at, the real magic at these events is when the hosts of the events step back and let the people in the room just be people in the room. And, you know, we have a very, very heavy focus on that. We feed you the entire time, so you're not worrying about, where am I going for breakfast? Where am I going for lunch? And it's not a matter of, like, because you don't know where you are and you're in a town you're not familiar with. We set it up that way by design because we do not want you leaving the facility. We want you spending every moment of the 48 hours or 72 if you're VIP with us. We want you spending every moment of that that time that you're with us actually networking, learning, meeting new people, deepening your, you know, your existing relationships. And, you know, it's funny, you know, we actually thought that we were going to struggle with that to a degree. And that's why we initially thought to ourselves, all right, feed them, give them the happy hours, keep the happy hours right here where we are. That way everyone stays together. But one of the things that we learned and we're very fortunate with is this community that we've built has got so many people in it that are so excited to meet their online friends for the first time that no one wants to go anywhere. Like you've got to make your way through the room within those 48 hours to shake hands with all the people that you know online.
Yeah, I got to tell you, man, two things to what you just said, which was a lot. Number one, I'll start with what you finished with. I will tell you, in like Michael has no idea what I'm getting ready to say, by the way. Like, we didn't rehearse this. And so what I'm saying is 100% my opinion and my observation. But I, like I said, I've been to dozens of conferences like this one, in addition to the various big eyes and that stuff. It was magical the first year. You know, by basis of comparison, I can't compare 23 since I wasn't there, but it was really magical. And I think that you guys did a great job for your first event. Like, I know you learned a ton of lessons that you that made 23 better, and you learned even more last year, and 24 will be better as a result. But what you got right was that was the exact time for you to do this thing, because we had just come out of COVID. People were antsy. They wanted to see other people. And I think that, you know, I heard grumblings, not grumblings, but I heard people talking at tables where I know that if you wouldn't have had that event for them to get together, they were just going to go get together on their own somewhere. So you really strengthened your community as a result of having that event. The other thing that I think you do really, really well, and again, in 2022, this is what I saw, and I can tell from the lineup again, this year it's the same way. You had a really eclectic group of speakers, man. Like, some of us, people know who we are because we go and we speak at a lot of events. Hopefully, you know, I'm pulling my name back enough to where there will be some level of mystery in 2 or 3 years when I'm ready to go out and hit the circuit again. But that's not what this is. So if you're somebody that's out there listening to this and you're thinking, oh, well, Carruthers is speaking, Paradiso is probably speaking, Perry Wallace is probably speaking. Yeah, we probably are, but that's not all that's happening. You had such a great...
Not, and Carrie's not.
You see, well, people, that's the bias you shouldn't have then, because that's what I would have assumed, right? But there are some of us, and I don't even remember who all they are. There are some of us that have been on stage plenty that are recognizable. But all that to say, you did an awesome job of featuring people I didn't have any clue who they were, that were very, very good on stage. They brought relevant content. As Scott would say, they got the hay down to where the goats could get to it. But you know, it's one of those things where I was able to learn, and I've made new friendships and people that I interact with online. And
oh, I see a ton of supers. I see a ton of supers that are just completely enamored with you at this point.
Yeah. And I mean, it's awesome to be able to do that and make those new relationships, because that's, you know, that's who I am. I mean, I don't want to run in the same circle all the time. I want to meet new people, get different perspectives. But it wasn't even just that. You also brought a very healthy mix of educational, experiential, and emotional. So if you want three E's, that's your alliteration from David for today. You had people that told you how they're going to do it. You had people that told you how they have done it. And then you have people like Jack Jameson that, my God, there wasn't a dry eye in the house, man. The guy got up and talked. And I mean, I'm just sitting here thinking, never even heard this guy before, but this is he's an amazing dude with a great message. And so for me to be able to leave an event after being at a number of events and take something out of it in more than just a little bit, I think speaks volumes to what you've created and what you've produced. And I expect it's even better this year. So if you're listening to this and you feel like it's going to be more of the same, I can tell you unequivocally, when you walk into a venue and there's a mechanical bull, that's already a difference from any other event. But no, I think you guys have done a really good job with how you've selected it, mixed it up. And it's obvious that it's well thought out and very intentional. It's not like you just slapped something together. Being transparent with you, that would have been my concern in year one, because you guys made the decision and everything came together really, really quickly. What that production that you put on based on the amount of time that you had tells me the amount of hours per week you had to work to make that thing happen. It doesn't take any less time to make an event go off. You just didn't have the same amount of days. Those days were really, really long. And I think you did an incredible job, you know, for what you had to work with.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, as far as the event is concerned, the speaker lineup, the way that we try and go about things, I wouldn't go so far as to call it formulaic, because it's not. I don't have a formula like scribbled away or whatever. But what we go for is a handful of well-known industry names that we know are going to deliver, a handful of agents that are popular within our ecosystem that everyone already kind of knows, that behind the scenes we know are doing some cool things because we've worked with them for a while. And then a handful of people that we know are doing things that are unique or cool that we've just had the fortunate opportunity to network with along the way that we believe that the industry needs to hear from. So there is a bit of a potpourri of speakers that we bring out there, but it's by design. Because, you know, to your point, it is the same names on every stage. And it's not because, you know, oh, you know, we're bored of the same names or whatever, but it's because the industry has got a lot of talent, but the talking heads at the very, very top, it's a hard circle to break into. It's like when a kid comes out of college, right? You know, well, you won't hire me because I don't have any experience. But I can't get any experience if no one's willing to hire me. And that's the same thing that goes on with a lot of really talented people in our industry. Like they're doing cool things. They like, and if you get them talking in conversation, you know, you say to yourself, oh, wow, this is a sharp cat. Why doesn't the industry know about them? And it's simply because they haven't burrowed their way into the right network, or they haven't shook the right hand yet, or, you know, they're not cool with the right people. And, you know, we look at Soup Live as an opportunity to bring new voices to the forefront and allow them to teach, you know, to teach our people.
Yeah. And I think that's really a good way to go about it, because one of the things I do, we talked about this. I told you guys last year when I wasn't able to speak because I'd already made a prior commitment that, you know, I hated it. I wanted to be there. I wanted to, you know, support you, but circumstances didn't allow that to happen. But I committed. I said, if you need me this year, I will. You're literally one of three that I'm speaking at this year. And then aside from me attending things and doing whatever, I'm laying low because I know the industry needs that. The other thing is, I need that. I need that time away to focus on other things that I'm working on, but also just to sit back and let my brand recharge a little bit and come up with some new content. There's only so many times I can say the same things or so many ways I can express them. And I don't want to get up if I'm not delivering value every single time. I'm not, that's not what I'm there for. If I was self-serving and I wanted fame and attention, it would be a different story, but that's not it. I want to make sure that if you have me at your event, that you get exactly what you expect or more, and that's it. So what I do when, because I have a lot of people that continue to reach out wanting to schedule me to go speak, I have a canned list of five or six people that I say, these are the people that I would recommend that quite honestly are probably better than I am. And I think you should reach out and do that. So being honest, picked it up from you guys. Like I'm ripping you off on that, Michael. I appreciate you leading the way in that thought process, because you're right. There is a group that pretty much controls what happens and who gets the exposure and who doesn't. And if you're not in that group or you don't know how to get in front of that group, you're never gonna get the opportunity. And you know, we talked about it a little bit before we started recording. I was fortunate enough to be on a podcast that was the first time anybody had ever heard me. And when that podcast aired, I had literally hundreds of people in my inbox saying, dude, like that was incredible. I've never heard anybody say those things before. Where have you been? And I'm like, been here, man. Nobody ever gave me a chance. And I finally got a chance and I didn't do anything special. I just told you how I do my job, right? I mean, that's dude, how I looked at it.
Do you know how many agents are out there that are sitting on the way they do something, insert what they do here, doesn't matter, that if they just were to express and talk about and teach what they were doing, how many agencies they would change? There are so many of them out there. So many of them out there.
Yeah, and I think that for some people, it's still a matter of, oh, I don't want to share what I'm doing because I'm afraid somebody's going to take it and use it against me or whatever else. You know, whatever. If that's what they're going to do, that's what they're going to do. I was on a call yesterday with the people inside of Killing Commercial, and I put up a deck page or something, and I was explaining. Oh, I was in NCCI looking at an experience mod, and I was training these people how you track an experience mod and all of the different things that you can do for free inside of the NCCI site that other people are paying tons of money for and not getting as good a results. Pulled up the mod on one of my clients or whatever, and I said, I realize I'm putting my client name up here, and I realize at some point somebody's going to feel froggy and decide they want to you know, go after one of my accounts. If you feel froggy, jump, come at me. But you know, I'm going to share anything. I'm going to share everything. I'm going to give you the details on how I do it. And you know, I think that as we continue to have more events like this, and you give more people opportunities, and you show them, hey, look, you're not going to get burnt if you share and you collaborate. It's only going to come back to you tenfold. Sure. It is going to change. You know, I hate to be cliche in saying this, but it will change the industry and it'll change the way people think for sure.
Well, you know, part of what made Insurance Soup take off, in my opinion, is the fact that I'm not an agent any longer. And because of that, I am personally able to express my opinions, express my thoughts. I have not had a scarcity mindset around anything that I'm learning or sharing in a very, very, very long time. And because I'm not actually in the agency anymore, there is no fear around like, oh, well, what if so-and-so knows about this? What if the agent down the block learns about what I'm doing? What if that agent that always beats me on the scorecard finds out this trick that I'm using that's responsible for 40% of what I'm doing? You know, if they learn that, I'll never catch up with them. I don't have any of that in my life. So basically, if I learn something and I see that it's going to be beneficial to the industry, I'm going to share it with the industry. So
100%.
That has been the mindset. And what's funny about it is, When Taylor and I started Insurance Soup all the way back in 2016, we were both still agents at that point. The reason that we started it in the first place was because him and I were staying up until 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, just basically trying to learn, you know, social media and advertising and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, we were comparing notes, and it wasn't just notes on lead gen or anything like that. We started comparing notes around vendors, sales strategies, approaches, And it became like a holy cow, like there's so much that my carrier is telling me that you don't know, and vice versa. Imagine if we had an ecosystem where we could get everybody sharing. Like, it would be like the cheat code. We would know, we would be able to expedite our learning curve that much faster. And as luck would have it, and we had no plans of monetizing Insurance Soup when we first started. When we, I remember it was like a night or two before launch, we were joking around saying, like, imagine in a couple of years that we had 5,000 people in there to learn from. And we had 5,000 people in there in like under 6 months. So, I mean, it's been a wild journey, but the entire purpose of Soup from the very get-go was like, let's get the industry talking and teaching and networking. And Soup Live is just an extension of what our original goal was.
Well, too, it's all inclusive, right? And I mean, you've got people that own agencies, people that are producers, people that are on the service end of the business. And, you know, they're all in there able to collaborate, you know, commercial, life, health, Medicare. It's not limited to any one segment of the industry. And I mean, for me, that's honestly a lot of value that you bring to me, because I don't, like Amanda Bruton, I don't know the first thing about Medicare, man. But I know that if I need something, she's one of a couple people I know that I can call. And based on the fact I was at Soup Live, heard her talk, we actually had her on the podcast and interacted with her. And I'm like, this is somebody I need to know, because when the time comes, if I ever need somebody in this area, she's money in the bank. I'd have never known her, right? Never would have had a clue. Because
Ironically, what's funny about Amanda Bruton is she hosts an event down on the Floribama Shores, probably 5 to 6 hours tops from where you are, and she hosts it. I haven't been to a Producers in Paradise, but I've seen it from 50,000 feet. She hosts her event in a very similar format to the way you do Producers in Paradise, and They're probably the events that are the closest together in proximity, and the two of you didn't even know each other prior, and you were both doing things very, very similar with the half day of learning, and then the back half going out and doing the networking and the socializing and the fun events and all that. And I spoke at her event last year, and I actually went to that event ahead of time wondering if that format would truly be good, because like, you let me out of something by 12 o'clock in the afternoon, and like, I'm going to go find something to do. But she wrote me right in, and it was, and not just me, everyone that was at the event, and it was a great time. And I'm sure from the pictures, the pictures and videos that I've seen from Producers in Paradise and that fishing trip that you guys do, I'm sure is the same thing. But
it's intentional, man. And, you know, again, you learn a lot when you go to a lot of different conferences. And, you know, the one thing you always hear, and I did not hear this at Soup Live, I want to be clear about that. But you always hear people when they leave the event saying, I wish I had more time in the lobby and the hallways. That's where I had the best conversations. That's where I built the relationships and everything. And I'm like, why don't we do that? Like, why don't we just flip it upside down and say, okay, we're only going to meet for like 3 or 4 hours, which we meet from like 10 to 2, because I got to give people a chance to sleep it off from the night before. So we'll meet from 10 to 2 on Friday, 10 to 2 on Saturday. We go hard. You know, it's really, really good content and great collaboration. But when it's done, it's done. Now what you have is a bunch of people who have the ability to help each other go out and hang out, drinking beer, listening to live music, hanging at the pool, whatever. And that's why my event from every ounce of feedback I've gotten has become as strong as it has for the members of my community. Because we give them exactly what they need, and that's that time to get together. One of the things that I changed, just, you know, I don't think you could probably not pull this off because of the number of attendees you guys have, but how I used to open up Producers in Paradise was that we would have an open mic for like the first hour, and it was just a quick boom, 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 boom. Here's who I am. Here's where I'm from. Here's one thing I came to learn, and here's one thing I'm really good at that I can help other people with. Because I wanted that conversation first. So people are going, oh, that guy's an agency Zoom expert, or that person knows a lot about using VAs. I need to pick their brain when I'm here. I've gotten too big for that at this point to dedicate the time that I need to do. So in the registration form and everything else, I've created a I don't even know what you want to call it, a program, a guide or whatever, but I've got a profile on everybody. Here's who I am. Here's where I'm from. Here's my bio. This is what I need help with. This is what I can help you with. And one of the cool things that I do leading up to Producers in Paradise is I have boxes that are made that look like treasure chests. So all of the swag that people get for Producers in Paradise, they get 2 or 3 weeks before the event. And I'm going to slide that guide in there so they can go through and see who's going to be there ahead of time. I'm getting an hour to an hour and a half of my life back so that we can focus on the content without losing the actual experience when we're not meeting formally.
Super, super smart. And I actually just tossed this idea to Taylor, I want to say about a week and a half or so ago, and I don't think we're going to get around to it for this year. Probably be an upgrade for next year. You know, like at Soup Live, how we've got the Jumbotrons or whatever. I threw out an idea of having everyone that's in attendance submitting information over a form or whatever, and in between speakers have all the, you know, the participants kind of rotating through, so you can same type of questions. What are you strong at? What are you weak at? What are you hoping to learn? You know, how long you've been an agency? What range is your book within? Because that's another big thing too, right? Like, you know, finding someone that's in a similar or just a step or two further down the path from you is oftentimes a better resource and mentor for you than the agent that's got the $50 million book. If I'm sitting on a half a million and the person on the stage is sitting on 50 million, like, we may be on the same planet, but we live in different universes. You know, the resources, team, tools, network, all that that you've built, you know, with, you know, from, you know, with whatever you've been fortunate to achieve from stage, pale, you know, is going to make what I've done pale in comparison. And you're going to have access to stuff that I just may not even be able to afford just yet.
You know what you guys should do? You could accomplish that without having to do any planning. You should just have a live Twitter feed on the Jumbotron and let people use the hashtag, and it'll display in real time.
We could do that, and then the weirdos that haven't attended that know of the hashtag.
These are the things that you forget about when you don't have a 50,000 person Facebook group.
Dude, I cannot say a word on social media without someone trying to spin it in some kind of way.
Isn't it crazy?
It is, but it's also fun.
It keeps us on our toes. So listen, I'm going to be clear with everybody. This is not a Taylor Dobby impersonation that you're getting ready to hear. Taylor Dobby is actually with us. Michael must have found him somewhere. And it's funny because Taylor doesn't know this, but before we started, I was in the room. Michael wasn't. And I sent him an instant message and just said, squirrel. And he's like, what are you talking about, man? You calling me a squirrel? I'm in the room. I'm like, well, I clicked the link above and started it. You're not in there. And the thing is, my ADHD is so bad. There's so many times that I've had in a meeting that's been on my calendar, and like 5 minutes before, I'm like, let me just check email one more time real quick. And next thing you know, I'm 15 minutes late to the meeting because my ADHD took over. So, Taylor, we're glad you're here, man.
Thank you. Thank you. See, what happened was Mike told me it was 3:30. So I'm neck deep building out something really cool, and my ADHD has me zoned out. So I'm building. And then I'm like, 3:30, let me hop on and see Mike's message 30 minutes ago. Where are you at? So
he didn't tell you it was Eastern time.
Here I am.
I generally do take the blame for as much as humanly possible when possible, but I don't think this one was me. Usually it is, though.
You booked it. It wasn't on my calendar, so I was relying on you.
There it is.
That's all right. I think we all suffer from the affliction a little bit, but anything else like that you want to bring up or mention about this year's event? I mean, I know you've got some VIP stuff that you're doing, that I'm going to be part of that. I know that you have different ticket tiers, but I also know that like some of the more experiential VIP packages, those sold really, really fast in year one and sold out. I don't know where you're at with any of that, but maybe talk about that for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, Taylor, why don't you take the mic
He's tired of carrying you on his back, Taylor. That's what he said.
Dude, he was trying to get me to do a Taylor impersonation, and I was about to show him like the best Taylor impersonation ever, and then I realized that I don't have one. So
we did a very poor job last year really explaining the VIP event. And the way we explained it was, you know, it's gonna be set up like speed dating. Each of the speakers, it'll be 8 total, and you'll rotate between tables and spend 30 minutes, having that one-on-one conversation, no more than 4 to 5 attendees per table. And we knew exactly what it was going to be, but we did a very poor job illustrating it and, you know, kind of painting that picture. After the event last year, the ones that attended said, like, by far, that was better than the entire event itself because of that interaction that they got with individuals, they may never, you know, be able to have conversation like that. You had Frank Sittner sitting there. So the average agent, you know, able to get the ear of Frank, you know, the godfather of InsurTech, that doesn't happen often. So the caliber of people in the room, that one-on-one that's not scripted, there's no agenda. It's just purely about what the agent needs and, you know, having those honest conversations and walking them through and helping them with solutions. So this year we're doing it down in the stockyards in Fort Worth. Soon as it's over, it's when the cattle drive comes down Main Street, the whole stockyards experience. I think we're going to grab some breakfast at a little biscuit and gravy place across from the venue. It's going to be a really, really, really awesome event this year. And the VIP event is only for the VIP ticket holders. So there's only 50 slots, and I believe we have a little over a dozen left.
Y'all better get up on it, because if he's only got a dozen left, I know that we can sell him out with this podcast for sure. I would buy the VIP experience to get next to Frank Sittner. I don't see him nearly enough, you know, at this point. But, you know, I think there's a lot to be said about that, too, because the other thing that it does, I think that in our industry, it's kind of a weird dynamic, man. But Insurance Famous never really registered with me until I realized after speaking a few times that it is an actual thing. Like, people hold you in a different regard. And quite frankly, I don't like it. Like, I don't want to be that person. I'm one of the guys, man. You know, I'm going to hang with you. Even when I was talking to Ciara Gravier about this today, because she was working on a speaking deal for one of the big guys, and they were kind of going back and forth on what they wanted. And I said, listen, I said, my philosophy is and always will be, once I get to the event, I'm at the event. Whatever you need from me, I'm there. You want me to go to your happy hour? You want me to go to your dinner? You want me to go on any extracurricular activities? I'm going to do that. I want to hang with the other agents, because I think it's really, really important that when you get to some level of success, and I want to be clear, I don't think that I'm the most successful. I probably never will be, but I have achieved some level of success. I think we need to remember where we came from. We need to let people know that we haven't changed. We need to be relatable. We need to let them know we're approachable. And doing something like you did and are going to do really solidifies that in a very tangible way to people who otherwise might not think that they would, like you said, ever get Frank Sentner's ear or whoever else is sitting at the table across from them. And I think that is a really, really valuable thing for the people who are VIPs. It's also very valuable for the people you call VIPs that are sitting at the table, because it helps us with our reputation and people realizing this dude's no different than anybody else. You know, he's got a wife and kids, and he gets frustrated about the same things. He's dealing with the same stuff, and it's really no different. It's just, I was in the right place at the right time at one point in my life, and I got an opportunity and I took it. And that, you know, I just, kudos to you for that, man, because I think that's worth the price of the VIP ticket right there.
No, I appreciate it. I always tell people, like, if you have high expectations of me, you're going to be severely disappointed when you meet.
Well, it's funny. I say the same thing when people come to my office, because, you know, my office is a postage stamp, because we're waiting. I've got a lease with an option to buy, but the people who are next door aren't quite ready to sell. And I had a Northern office, but my buddy sold to Acrisure, his health agency, and he owned the building. So I got 2 weeks notice that he sold because he forgot to tell me. So 2 years ago on New Year's Eve, me, my wife, and Grayson are in the pouring rain in a U-Haul offloading an office. And now all that crap is crammed into my Valrico office. So when agents come to Tampa, I don't even always know that somebody's coming by, but when they're always welcome to stop by and see me. But when they come in, they're like looking around. I'm like, oh, I should have warned you. Prepare to be severely underwhelmed. Like, you're in an agency that's run by a commercial producer. We make our money outside. I don't have a bunch of people in the office. And specifically with COVID happening, it just made it easier for me to get the distractions out. It's so much quieter with my service team working remote than it ever was before. And it's not that it's a knock on my team, because they obviously need my attention and direction, but God, man, when I had an office full of people, there was always somebody standing in my door, breathing down my neck, wanting something, and I could never get anything done. So when you walk in and you say, wow, you've got like three occupied offices, a conference room, and a lobby. Yeah, that's all I need.
Yep. We've got about 2,000 square feet, and it's way bigger than what we need for three people, but we can all work and be, you know, pretty much as loud as we want and not interfere with the others. So
100%.
I love
that. Well, Taylor's got this beautiful, aesthetically pleasing, well put together, well designed by an interior designer office. And when agents want to see me, I'm like, where do you want to meet for lunch?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a standing joke because, you know, I launched Florida Risk out of my house and I didn't have an office. So the joke was always which Starbucks I was going to meet a carrier rep at. And the story was always, well, we're getting ready to move into our space. I'm just trying to finalize which one. That was a year and a half dance I was doing just to get my contract.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
What have we missed, guys? Anything?
I think we pretty much covered the event for sure.
Where do they go to register?
SoupLive2024.com, or they can go to theinsurancesoup.com, and it's right there at the top. So SoupLive2024.com.
Okay, and I want to say something too. You guys don't know this is coming, so I'm going to preface it by saying the opinions that have got to come out are 100% my own, and I don't mean to make anybody uncomfortable by this, but I think in the circles that I run in, and I shouldn't even say the circles, but in other Facebook groups, I think sometimes you guys get a bad rap because you have rules in your group, right? And I want to be clear about something. Side with the soup guys on this. You know, I've run a big Facebook group before. I know what it looks like. I know what it means to have people that are in there for their own benefit, to push their own agenda, that really didn't have anything to do with all the blood, sweat, and tears that went into growing something. And, you know, I don't understand why it's not a translatable thought process for any logical thinking human being that if you have laws in society to govern people and make them function in a certain way, that you can't translate that to the internet. And, you know, I think that people sometimes misunderstand a lot of what has gone on in soup in the past, in the fact that you're so dedicated to, look, this is what's going to govern the community. There is literally zero interpretation. If you violate the rules, you checked that you understood what you were getting into. And if you violate the rules, we are going to execute you and have you removed. Now, you guys have fun with it. Might not necessarily approach it in exactly the same way that you have. But I think people need to understand that these aren't bad dudes. These aren't guys that are running some sort of tyrannical Facebook group. They have law and order because you have to have law and order with 55,000 people in an online community. If you don't, none of us are going to benefit from it. So here's what I would say. If you've heard grumblings from people online, if you've always been gun shy about going into the community, give it a chance, man. I mean, go to Soup Live, learn what the culture is, learn who these people really are. You're going to understand they're no different than any of the rest of us. They're just going to enforce the rules they tell you when you enter their community. And that's no different than if you live in an area with the homeowners association or even the local town that you're in. You break the rules, you pay the consequences. So I want to be clear about that, because I think that there have been people out there that have done some things or said some things that have had the ability to damage you guys. And the more that I've gotten to know you, the more I understand who you really are, and the more I can agree with exactly the way that you're running things, because I think you're doing it the right way. So I just wanted to make that clear for anybody out there who wonders, well, what's Carruthers doing hanging with these guys? You know, those are the soup guys. They're the best. That's the land of misfit toys of insurance. No, it's not actually. It's actually the most prominent group for the insurance industry. And if you're not in it, you're the one losing out, nobody else.
I appreciate those kind words. You know, I think what it really boils down to, and what a lot of people really, it's some pushback that we get from time to time. And it's funny because it's like, we get pushback around the fact that the group is our business. You know, we have services, we have opportunities, we have products. We don't push them all that heavily. You know, if we talk about one thing a day, it's a lot, you know, most days. And it's a group where you've got, you know, north of 100 posts a day. So you're looking at less than 1% of the content is us talking about anything that's remotely ours. But at the end of the day, I think people really struggle with the fact that, you know, and not all people, but the people that you're suggesting, a lot of them struggle with the idea that we are running a business.
and it's not just a Facebook group. And because we're running a business, there are certain things that we will allow to go to fly and certain things that we won't allow to fly. And the easiest and most simplistic way that I'm able to compare it is we've got products and services. Pretend that we don't. Pretend that we are insurance agents, you know, in the trenches with our own agency. If you were to come into my insurance agency as the owner of Florida Risk and start talking to people that are at my desk about what great policies that you have and what great carriers you have, I would look you square in the eye and I would say, get the fuck out of my office. In plain English, I can't say it 100%. Any simpler than that. I will look you in the eyes and I will say those exact five words to you. And that translates to the online world to a degree. You know, like, you are in my business right now, in front of my prospects, trying to utilize what we've built for your business. And that just doesn't fly with anyone anywhere. And, you know, it's unfortunate because, you know, a lot of the agents who ultimately have gone on to feel frustrated with us, it is a direct result of, I've got a service that you wouldn't let me offer. I've got a podcast that you wouldn't let me talk about. I've got a insert agenda here that you guys stamped out. And now when I'm out in the wild and not in insurance soup, I'm just going to go around and tell everyone what a bunch of bad dudes they are.
Yeah. And I think the thing too is that it's not like you guys hide that you have a business tied to your community, right? Like, people, let me help you understand something about online marketing. If you don't, rule number one is you build the community first, then you introduce the product, right? Like, I mean, know that you guys have ever been secretive. You've never been shady about what you're doing. It's out in the open. And to put a feather in your cap, Michael, you're 100% right. You know, I'm not going to tell you I live in insurance soup all day. I mean, I do have to actually go out and produce so I can make payroll and everything. But, you know, I don't see you in there constantly promoting it. I see your people, like the people that are raving fans of what you've done, talk about how great the things are that you do. But my God, what's the difference between them doing it in there or doing it on their personal Facebook page, other than they've got a little bit more reach when they're inside the group? And, you know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with having a business. And to your point, it's funny, you guys are a little bit younger than I am, so you may not have seen the movie Hoosiers. But there's a scene in Hoosiers where Gene Hackman, who's the basketball coach, goes into Dennis Hopper's house when he's an alcoholic and he's trying to tell him he needs to dry out. And Dennis Hopper says, you know, there's two kinds of people. There's the guy that'll go out and get buck naked and howl at and bark at the moon. And the other, and then there's the guy who does the same thing, but it's in your living room. The one you can get by, I'm butchering it. He says one of them, you know, it's fine. It doesn't really affect you, but the other one you're kind of forced to deal with. And I think that's pretty articulate of a butchered quote for what you guys are doing. Like, okay, if you know, the internet's a huge place. Why is it here that you've chosen to come in and try and promote your product? And obviously it's because you have a very concentrated audience that's valuable to them, but I just don't understand why the sense of entitlement's there, why people think that that's okay.
Yeah.
I think it's because in a lot of other communities, they're not really being governed. It's just a playground. It's just a romper room, and they're accustomed to being able to, you know, kind of run wild in those communities. And when they hit a community that is being governed, that is actually delivering value and that has a purpose and a mission, and they have to pump the brakes, it's unfamiliar territory for the majority of people on social media.
Yeah, I think the other thing too, and I mean, we don't need to belabor this point, but I think you guys do a pretty good job of allowing people to speak freely as long as they're inside they're not pimping a product or whatever else. And I don't think people always understand that, you know, we have a First Amendment in America. It's not your job to censor somebody's speech as long as they're operating inside the framework or the rules of your community. So some of the grumbling I get from people is, oh, I can't believe this person said that. Well, grown-ass adult, it's your job to control what comes out of somebody's mouth. They're free to say whatever they want as long as it doesn't go against your community standards or do damage to your brand. And I respect you for that more than anything else, because there's too many people out there that want to be quick to block and delete or whatever when somebody brings up a point that maybe challenges how they think, but it doesn't necessarily do damage to them. They just don't have a response or feel violated or whatever because they're overly defensive. And in my opinion, it's because they're not on their A game and don't bring enough value anyhow. Because if they were, they wouldn't be so concerned about it. So, all that is that's me saying, people, if you've heard things, don't believe none of what you hear believe half of what you see and none of what you hear, or whatever. Same thing here.
No, we typically really only delete three types of posts, and it's self-promotion, politics, and religion. We don't allow the three. Politics and religion, it's just not a place for it in the group. Always stirs up shit for one side. And it's not a good mix for business. But
we've had people that come to us and they're like, "Why'd you kick me out of the group? We're on the same team. We vote the same way."
Don't
care.
Rules are rules. Okay. Like, we've never allowed one individual to put the group in jeopardy of staying on track from the very beginning till now. And it doesn't matter. Hell, Sean Walker, we booted him back in 2017, and now we work with him. So it's never, "Oh, well, that's okay. That's Johnny. Johnny's good. He's one of the boys." Same shit goes for Johnny.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%, man, because I know firsthand that there is nobody's exempt. Nobody's exempt. In my advice, like, if you're in the community and you have any question whatsoever, like, that, it's that simple. Just don't just assume it's okay. Like, I feel like we're good friends, but I also know that you run your community and there is no bias whatsoever. And if I break the rules, I'm gone. I know that 100% without. And I wouldn't even take it personally with you guys, because you've laid out what the expectation is. You know, we went back and forth. Michael posted something this week about me speaking at Soup Live. I wanted to use it to promote. I was like, "Hey, man, am I able to share that post?" He's like, "No, it's a private community. Everything in there is sacred." I said, "Exactly. Completely understand. That's why I asked, what about the graphic? Am I allowed to at least cross post the graphic onto my personal stuff?" He's like, "Yeah, feel free to go for it."
We had a misunderstanding. The only reason you can't share that post is because
Facebook won't allow it.
You can't share it.
No, but I could copy and paste it, or I could take a screenshot of it, right? And my point being, I asked you because I'm respectful of the fact you guys have rules in your group. It's not that I'm subservient or whatever else. I'm just a respectful human being. If you were in my house, I would want you to act the way I want you to act when you're in my house.
Yeah.
And that's what's so funny about it is, like, you know, and we spoke about this a little bit earlier on, in the show here. You know, we've been fortunate to be asked to speak at other places and you know, masterminds and all that kind of stuff. And we know when we're not in our house, like, it's no longer our rules. We don't talk about our stuff. We come from a place of value. You know, like,
we spoke, Mike. It was at Nissan Stadium in Tennessee, and we started it off by, "Raise your hand if you've been booted from Insurance Suit." And the amount of hands that went up. So we know, like, stepping outside of our environment, there's a lot of them.
Actually, we started our talk asking that question, and a bunch of people raised their hands. And the next line that came out of our mouth was just, "You're not getting back in after today either."
No, it's all, which, always which, makes
which
me laugh.
Quite honest, yeah, which is quite honestly pretty funny.
Yeah, it always makes me laugh.
Listen, man.
The ones that throw a fit are the ones that get removed. And they're like, "I didn't even like that stupid group." I'm like, "Oh, yeah, you were the 13th, you know, contributor to the group that posted six times a day, but you sure didn't like it." So,
well, and the thing is, man, at the end of the day, what I think I respect about you guys the most, more than anything else, is you're true to yourself and you're loyal to the friends and the relationships that you have and that you've built. And that's something that this industry severely lacks. And I'm not saying that it's easy, right? Like, it's not like you guys are going to be sitting with open arms saying, "Oh, I trust you. You're going to be my best friend tomorrow," whatever else, you know. But I find you to be very genuine. I find you to be authentic. And I find you to stick to your guns. And those are the guys I want to ride with. I want the people that are going to do that and, you know, challenge me to do the same. So, you know, whether I've ever told you that or not, I appreciate that about you. And I appreciate the fact that we have become friends and that we've gotten to know each other better, because I would have been one of the people on the outside listening to other people's opinions.
Well, no, we appreciate you too, man.
For sure.
Definitely mutual.
Good deal. Well, May 7th and 8th, is that right?
May 7th and 8th. VIP on the 9th.
VIP on
Got
the
9th. Yeah, I was trying to remember, because even though I only said I would do 3 gigs, somehow I got 2 of them sandwiched together. So, like, that 2 weeks I'm going to be finishing the second half of something I started in Michigan on like April 30th time frame. And I fly back in, and then that next on like Wednesday and then or Thursday, and then that Friday I fly down to Key West to wrap up the last little bit of stuff for Producers in Paradise that weekend. And I fly back in Monday afternoon. So I'm flying to Soup Live either Monday evening or on the like 5 a.m. flight Tuesday morning to get down there. And then when I get back from Soup Live, I'm turning around. That's Mother's Day weekend, and I'm taking the family down to Sarasota.
Is that Mother's Day weekend? Thank you for telling me. I totally would have missed that, and I totally would have bombed.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I've already got the spa appointment booked for my wife, and we're taking her down to the Ritz-Carlton in Sarasota for the weekend. But I'm gonna be beat.
Maybe that's why we've got more women enrolled this year for Soup Live than men. Maybe the men are all like, I can't, like, I got to do my last minute shopping.
You know what? Though, you bring up a good point too, man. The other thing I would say is we wrap up, ladies. I know we have a fair number of ladies who listen to the podcast because I get great feedback from you all the time. And you know that I'm somebody that's going to stand up and fight for you and champion you getting equality in the industry. I remember 2 years ago how many people in the audience were females at a conference. And I recognize that from stage because it's not something that you see everywhere you go. So ladies, if you are, I mean, I'm glad to hear they're coming out in full force. And I'm glad you said that because I think that in our industry, there are still a certain number of people who are gun shy, and don't be, you may be the majority.
Well, yeah. One thing's for sure. When you attend Soup Live and you look around, you are not thinking male, pale, stale, you know, the stereotypes that the industry is known for. It's as diverse a room as you're going to find. It really is. I mean, from race to ethnicity to sexual orientation to political ideology to, like, the room is filled with the faces of America, essentially. It really is.
Well, it's funny, man. I mean, I've gotten to be friends with Jeffrey Seidel. And I mean, I walk in and here's a dude at an insurance conference with a damn voice box tattoo. Like, big guy would freaking crap their britches if they saw this guy walk into a conference. And I'm like, this is actually really freaking cool that all these people are here. And it is, I don't want to be cliche and say melting pot, but it really kind of is. There is no exclusion. It's 100% inclusionary. And it's not like you're trying to meet DEI standards or anything like that. You're doing it because it's who you are.
Well, funny story about Jeff in particular, and Jeff has got a lot of art all over his body.
Keep that between the two of you, Michael. I mean, I'm not.
I'm telling you the story around how Jeff became an agent with us, and part of that, I guess, is my knowing how many tattoos he's got all over his body. But don't even edit it. Let it run. but when we brought him on, we learned, I don't know if he told you before he came on, Taylor, but I learned.
It was the first thing that he said.
Yeah.
The first thing on the meeting we had was he brought it up.
Yeah. He had tried to open an agency with a couple other organizations. And when they saw him, like physically saw him, they said no because of the tattoos. And, come as you are with us. Like, we, you know, if you've got a solid business plan and a good head on your shoulders, we're going to give you a swing of the bat. He's been a hell of an agent. He's doing a great job.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, the things that he has had challenge him throughout his life, he was very transparent when he was a guest on this podcast talking about it. And I appreciate the fact that he's willing to be open and honest about some of the demons that he's had, because we got incredible feedback from people and even people who reached out to him because they heard him on the podcast, that he had no clue who they were because he shared that story. And I mean, again, that's nothing but positive because you give somebody the opportunity. So Jeff, if you're listening to this, great. If you're not, great. You know, maybe people
will see it. But tattoos, Jeff.
Much love, brother.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, listen, fellas, you know this. That's why I have the fake background in the back, but the real background honestly doesn't look much different today. I'm in the Bahamas on vacation with my family. So I got the message from Mama that the kids are ready to eat. So it's time for me to roll. I want to wrap up thank both of you very much for what you for coming on today, but more importantly, what you've built, what you do for the industry, what you do for the community and the culture that you've built. And I'm just glad to be a part of it. May 7th and 8th in Arlington, Texas, the coolest venue for an insurance event that I have been a part of. You will not be disappointed if you come. Go hit theinsurancesoup.com or souplive24.com and register today, because I will tell you this, it ain't a football stadium, so there's only a limited amount of seating there. You got to get your tickets, because I have thrown events and I know how this game is played. Michael and I talked about it the other day. It's a bell curve. You got a lot of people at the beginning. It's like kind of reverse bell curve, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people at the beginning, it dips down and then it comes back up at the end. You don't want to be that person, you know, come first, second week of April thinking you're going to go to Souf Live.
And it's sold out. Yeah. 100%.
Have a sense of urgency, people. I know the people that listen to this podcast are closers, and you're going to go make that happen the second you get off of here with any intention at all of going. So, Ellis, again, thank you so much for coming on. More importantly, thank you for your friendship. It means a lot, and I really appreciate everything you guys have been able to do to help me and help the agents in your community.
Likewise, man. Likewise.
Absolutely. Appreciate you, brother.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to the Power Producers Podcast. You can follow Killing Commercial Insurance on Facebook and YouTube. And if you want to take your game to the next level, check out our book, The Extra 2 Minutes, and our website, killingcommercial.com.